Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Schmidt.
Brick by brick, baby. I'm freaking out, Webb.
I'm told there'd be no man.
Stupidity is going to be an asset.
What a bunch of crybabies.
Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
What's up, Smith? Hello, hello.
I'm Smith, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. Thank you for joining us. This is podcast number 13 already for the Wager Makers. That's crazy, Webb.
Lucky 13, baby.
Lucky
Time's
13.
Flying.
We got picks. We got all kinds of picks for the whole weekend. We mentioned on our last show that we had picks for Thursday night. That's coming up, the Jacksonville and Tennessee and Houston and Tulane. And then we got picks for Friday on last show also. We'll be talking about those also just to give you a reminder. But then we've got the whole slate of Saturday and Sunday games. Also, don't forget iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play Music, Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. You can get us on all those places. The Wager Makers Podcast on Facebook, at The Wager Makers on Twitter, and The Wager Makers on Instagram. The Wager Makers Podcast at gmail.com for all your questions or comments or anything. We really appreciate your feedback. So how's it going tonight, Webb?
Doing good, man. Doing good. How about you?
Oh, pretty good. We got the news, I guess, so far so good on the Drew Brees thumb fiasco here. He had surgery yesterday. So far, everything seems good. He tweeted out last night. He gave the thumbs up. So we're happy about that. No IR. That's good. That means that really Sean Payton thinks that he won't be back, won't be out for longer than 8 weeks. So that's a good solid sign. I think Payton's got some decisions to make. They didn't bring a new quarterback to the roster. They brought in Barrett, who's had a couple camps with them, the old Ohio State quarterback. He's had a couple camps in with the Saints the last couple years and didn't make the team. But, you know, when you have Taysom Hill out there running around doing all kinds of other stuff, shoot, he was playing tight end, wide receiver, everything else against the Rams the other day. And so you got to be careful with these guys. You only got two quarterbacks on the roster really active. So if you're going to have him out there running around, if one of them goes hurt, all of a sudden you're left with one quarterback. So Sean Payton's going to have his work cut out for him getting this going.
What's he say? He was not going to name a starting quarterback. He's going to have them both play. Is that like a competitive advantage, or is he just being douchey? What's his story?
Well, I think just like a Belichick kind of guy, or just he's not going to give away anything. And that way the teams have to prepare for both guys because they're both very different. You know, Taysom Hill is a lot more active, can run around. So it just gives, I think, the defense for the other team more to worry about, more to work on in the preseason and things like that. So
wouldn't they have to worry about it anyway? Taysom Hill takes snaps every game, don't he?
Yeah, but hey, man, I'm just telling you. Sean Payton ain't telling me. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I don't have the inside scoop. I'm not at practice.
Jason Garrett does that same bullshit, too.
They stayed out on the West Coast because they played with the Rams last week, and they stayed out. They were going to do that anyway. And even Breeze had his surgery in Los Angeles, I believe.
Yep.
So Webb, just to get into the Saints a little bit here, I've been tough on the Saints fans, and I had kind of an epiphany today. You know, I was wondering, I've been so down on the Saints fans as much as anything over the last few weeks, and I'm one of them. I'm in the Who Dat Nation. I'm the black and gold. I'm a season ticket holder, man. Me and you, we were at the game, you know, when the Atlanta Falcons came to the dome after Katrina. I was in the dome. You know, when the Saints won their first playoff game, Akeem dropped the ball. I was in the dome the day Hartley kicked the field goal to get them to the Super Bowl. You know, I've been a part of this team. I don't want to give people the wrong impression because I've been harping on this stuff and kind of giving the Saints fans a tough time and everything. I was playing golf with my buddy today, Todd Adams, and man, this dude was a big football fan, just like a lot of Saints fans here in New Orleans. He was a big football fan, and that game last year with the bad call and everything, it just left such a bad taste in her mouth that really this dude has like given up NFL football. The negativity of it all
is
giving up the NFL football. And so, you know, I was talking a lot. I mean, I've been talking a lot about the Who Dat and the We Dat, and the fans are getting on my nerves, and the referees are getting on my nerves. And it came to me today that it's about the negativity, Webb. It's about the negativity. I'm a positive guy. I try and look at the bright side of every situation. And I'm a true believer that you make your own breaks. You know, a lot of guys walk around here, man, I can't catch a break. But you see them doing the same things over and over again and making the same mistakes. And I'm like, man, you know, you got to change that. You can't just wallow in these mistakes. So now I'm making a call out, Webb, to all the Saints fans out there. I'm talking to all you guys out there, to Who Dat Nation. We sit in the dome together, man. We've been in the dome together I talked about, you know, the Gleason punt block at the day we came back from Katrina. Man, we're all one. Saints, all races, all colors, creeds, men, women, everything. We're in that dome 70,000 strong. We're all one. And it's just been too much negative talk. It's been about the referees. It's been how we get screwed. All this other stuff. I got my good friend Robbie Lawson's on Facebook today saying that Saints really have to go get Eli because there's no way we can win any games without making a quarterback move this week.
Damn.
Like Eli coming here last second is gonna change our ways over 6 weeks. They're all professionals in that building, Webb. All the guys. If they can't go 2-4 or 3-3 without Drew Brees, they don't deserve to go to the playoffs. They don't deserve it. Drew Brees has never let us down. Never let us down. I'm not gonna let him down, and I'm making a call out to the Who Dat Nation.
I'm calling
all of you out in the Who Dat Nation. We're giving a thumbs up for Drew Brees tonight, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it through the season. Webb, it's time to rally the troops. It's time to circle the wagons, Webb. The Drew Brees thumb thing is not the end of the world. Ask the Steelers. They got no Big Ben the whole season. Ask the Panthers. They got no Cam. The Giants got a rookie quarterback. Nick Foles went to Jacksonville. He's supposed to be the savior.
For a first-round pick.
Yep.
Steelers ain't giving up.
Andrew Luck. The Colts are 1-1. The Colts are 1-1. They lost their franchise man last week, right before the season started. The Eagles, Webb, the Eagles did not practice yesterday because they didn't have enough healthy people. They had too many people hurt. They just did walk through. They didn't even have a real practice. You telling me this shit is going down over one player? Look, I know he's Drew Brees. He's the Hall of Famer. He's the heart and soul of this town. He's the heart and soul of this team. That's it. It's over. That was Monday. That was Tuesday, and that was Wednesday. Well, today's Thursday, Webb. Today's Thursday, and we're moving on. It's time to look ahead. It's time to stop crying, and it's time to step up. You know that feeling in the dome, we're all together. We got to get together. We got to get back like that. Back like Katrina. Back like the Super Bowl. We're all one here. And I'm putting a challenge out to Sean Payton.
Do it.
He just got a contract extension. Sean Payton, teach him up. You got these guys on your roster. I don't care if he goes with Bridgewater. I don't care if he goes with Taysom Hill. Either one, we got to be behind him. Sean Payton knows what he's doing. If he goes with Teddy, we go with Teddy. If he goes with Taysom, we go with Taysom. Stop criticizing. One player's out for 6 games. He'll be back. And I guarantee you, you know Drew Brees. He's going to be ready when he gets back. Drew Brees will be ready. Yeah. Drew Brees, when he gets back, you know what he's doing right now? He's probably laying in an ice tub doing thumb calisthenics. He's probably doing that thing, that little thumb fight you used to do, the little thumb wrestling. He's probably in there doing that right now. He's probably got rubber bands all on his thumb trying to do workouts for his thumb.
1, 2, 3, 4. I declare a thumb war. Hell yeah.
We cannot let Drew down. I'm talking to Teddy Bridgewater. Step up. Taysom Hill, you got to step up. These guys can't do it by themselves. Michael Thomas, step up. You the man. You got the big contract this year. Time to step up. Alvin Kamara, you are the man. Step up. Defense, let's go. Pick him up. Cam Jordan, Lattimore, let's go. Sean Payton, you got to step up. This is thumbs up for Drew Brees right now. So to Who Dat Nation, you got to stop crying. Take care of this shit. It's time to settle in. We go to a tough place to play this week, Seattle. Only one way we can go in there. It's together. Together. If it's a tough place to play, whether Drew Brees was playing or not. Doesn't matter. You could easily come out with a loss. We'll see. But you got to go in and battle. You don't give it up. Dallas. Dallas comes home Sunday night a week from now. You telling me we don't owe them some shit? We were the year we won the Super Bowl, they were the only team. We were undefeated, and your damn Cowboys whooped us.
I was there.
Whooped us in the dome. Well, guess what? Last year, guess what? We had a good season going. Guess what happened then? Dallas put the fucking hammer down on the Saints. They out-physicaled. Had nothing to do with quarterbacks. It had to do about busting somebody in the mouth. I'm sick of it. You don't think Dallas gets owed something this Sunday coming up after the Seattle game? I don't care who's playing quarterback. Cam Jordan and the boys, you got to go in there and bust their ass. And the dome got to be rocking. It's got to be rocking back to those days that I'm talking about. You want revenge? Talking about revenge? Oh, we got screwed last week against the Rams. But beating somebody in week two is not revenge for them knocking you out and dissing you heading to the Super Bowl. That's not revenge. You know what revenge is? Revenge is having your man go down. And you step it up for 6 weeks, and when he comes back, you make it to the playoffs anyway, and you take the Rams out heading to the Super Bowl next year. That's revenge. Week two don't mean shit. Not mean shit. I don't care what the hell's going on. A week two win over the Rams doesn't mean shit. So you take this injury, you take our Hall of Fame quarterback, and what you do, you get him back, you hold it up while he's gone, you get him back in the game, and you got a healthy Drew Brees moving forward. I'm challenging everybody on the team, the front office, and the fans, especially the fans. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of dissension. I'm tired of looking back. I'm tired of everything else. It's time to step up. That's it.
I feel you. Did we give up on the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
No, it's time for a toga party.
That's right. All right, Smith.
Oh, all right.
Feel better?
Sorry, Webb. I do. I've been wanting to say that. I don't know. Maybe that's what I've been trying to say over these weeks was about with the ref jerseys and all that stuff. It's just been negative, man.
Listen, it's all about pie. Glass half full, baby.
Oh.
All right. So we got Saints going out to Seattle. So we got the Seattle minus four. Are we going with the Saints this week, Smith?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not ready. Listen, this is more than point spread. This is more. Listen, let's not get cat. Listen, you got to keep your head on. You want to bet with your head or your heart? I was talking heart. I'm talking heart here for a second.
Let's not get too crazy.
Yeah. We'll talk about the games later. Point spread. We'll talk about the point spread and all that shit later.
It's only 4 points. It ain't 14.
All right. Well, we're not going to need 14. We can talk about that. But I'm not saying go crazy. But I'm just saying get support. It's time to support the team. It's time all to support. Right. I want to wait. Before I'm putting money on something, I'm going to wait and see. I still have my Saints Super Bowl ticket. I still have my Saints Super Bowl ticket. I still have the under 10.5, too. I still have the under 10.5 wins, too. I have both of those. They might come out both. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. So are we taking Seattle? What are we doing? Seattle minus 4.5 and under, and the total is 45.5. What's your thoughts?
Can we wait till we get to the NFL for that? Just because I'm too emotional right now. I'm going to jump right on. I'll be like, yeah, I'm taking, you know what? Fuck. Let's take the points. I'll take the points right now. Are you with me? Are you with me?
How can I not be? All right. Take the point.
All right. That's what I'm trying to get people. We're running through walls.
That's it. We're running through walls.
I'm trying to get these guys running through walls for me. That's right. We're taking the Saints. We're taking the points this week in Seattle.
I'll follow you.
Yeah. I want Cam Jordan all over Russell Wilson's ass. That's what I want. Time for the defense. I've been hearing all about this defense. They're hearing all about this defense for years, how much better they are. Well, let's do it.
Let's win
a game. How many? Man, Davis is a beast. Davis is a beast. How many times has Drew Brees come up and won the game for these guys?
Bailed him out, right?
Yep. It's time to bail him out. It's time to do it for Brees. Whew.
There you go.
All right, let's get into picks. Let's get into picks for the weekend.
You got it.
Unless you got something you want to talk. Do you got something? You got to talk to your boys? You're getting lazy because you guys are 2-0. You don't got to give them a pep talk. I'm giving my boys a pep talk.
That's right. Get them going. That's it. Motivate them, baby. Let's get on a lighter side here. Did you see the dude on the Jamal Adams? He's an LSU boy. He got benched. I guess he was playing shitty. And so he unliked or whatever you do on Facebook. Stop following the Jets on Facebook or Instagram. Is that for real?
They're getting, I don't know,
$1 zillion. And so, okay, I'm going to unfollow you on my social media. Are these fucking guys for real?
Like, he's not going to know what time to show up if he's not following. Like he don't know what time to go to the meeting. If he's not on the Instagram.
Same show. It's a reality TV show. And not only that, the Jets, they benched Tremaine Johnson, who's the third highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I have it here in front of me. Said he's a little upset, in quotes, about being benched. The third highest paid quarterback in the NFL is upset because he got benched. You think the owner's upset that he's got to bench the guy?
Right. He's still paying him.
He ain't getting checks back.
Right.
Come on, man.
Shit. These guys, just like that Jalen Ramsey thing we were talking about. These guys just they cry babies, man. Cry babies.
The dude, Cowboys, Taco Charlton, he was their first round pick. I think that's 3 years ago. He's the 28th pick, so he's late first round pick. He put some shit on whatever, Instagram, social media. They release me or free me. Free me, that's what it was. Capital letters, six letters. So you know what they did? They freed him.
Yeah.
You want freed? Go ahead.
Right.
There you go. Release. See ya.
Did he get picked up by anybody yet? Somebody will pay these guys. That's the problem.
Cowboys are hoping he gets picked up. They're off the hook for the guaranteed money. So,
yeah, no
but
doubt.
You know that I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna put some shit on social media now to my boss and say free me.
Yeah,
pay me. That'll work well. Yeah. Kids will love that. My kids will love that.
Right. Oh man.
Can't make it up.
Well, we talked about our picks in the last episode for Thursday night and Friday night. Web, we have we got Houston plus 5 against Tulane, and then on Friday night we got Utah minus 4 over USC, And we got Air Force plus the 8 against Boise State. We also took Jacksonville is plus 1.5 at home. We went with Minshew. We went with the man Minshew.
That's right. We're going back to the 70s, baby.
Right.
Little.
Right, right.
Down a summer disco.
He's
action.
Got the Dirk Diggler action going. So we got, he's got a little pizzazz to him or something like that.
You get all kinds of pop culture references on this show. Animal House, Dirk Diggler, we got it all covered.
Right. I knew what you were talking exactly when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. I was right there.
I was a little worried about you when you missed the Jay-Z 99 Problems thing.
Well, I just didn't know where it came from exactly because it's not usually in my jargon that I come up with, but like I said, that got me in trouble at home for a little bit. She didn't understand what that was talking about. So, but all right. So let's get right to college, Webb. What do you see? You see some games in the top 25 you like, or you got anything that's popping out right away?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple good games actually, but the first one I'm loving Georgia minus the 14.5 over Notre Dame. Obviously, we're going to buy that half point. Notre Dame, Smith. You know, since we were on Bourbon Street way back when, and Rick Meyer blew us up that day. Wow, that's probably back in like 1990 at this point. Anyways, Notre Dame not on my list. I'm happy to jump on Georgia here, minus the 14 on the buying that half point. That's one of the ones I saw. Also, Wisconsin's laying 3.5 to Michigan. We're going to buy that half down to 3, I think. Harbaugh's got to prove this to me. I think you're going to see Taylor run up and down the field. Wisconsin's going to be Madison's going to be rocking and rolling for them. So that was the two that I saw, the two, you know, marquee games that kind of jumped off at me. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with both of them, actually. I like Georgia, you know, Notre Dame. When they come up against teams like this, they just seem to be outclassed. Same with in the playoffs last year. They made the playoffs. Man, I loved
them. That's easy.
You know, I love them. And this game's in Georgia. The place is going to be rocking. It's going to be awesome. Wisconsin, Michigan, that's a kind of a tough game. But, man, Wisconsin's been looking good. And Michigan just, you know, they haven't impressed. They have not impressed.
Not at all. They should have lost to Army, and I think they did lose to somebody. I mean, they've been unimpressive for a couple of years now.
Right. So eventually, you got to just believe what you see.
Right. Eventually, you know? They are what they are.
Right. So. And I like Michigan. You know, the school, the team, and all that stuff. But eventually, you either like them or not. So you know, we got I kind of like you know. We talked a little bit about UCF, and yep. They've been really rolling for us every time. They're favored by about 12.5 over Pitt. Pitt's coming off a tough game against Penn State last week. I think they really probably were up for that game, big time up. And, man, to me, UCF just keeps on rolling. I don't see any reason why not to just stay with them and stick around on them. I don't know what you think about that.
That's the point. That's just the one you kind of wake up Saturday morning and just, you know, bet, you know, whatever, your 50 or 100 bucks on UCF, and you kind of just live with it. They've earned that, you know, they've earned that. Enough money in the bank on them. I don't see any reason not to lay 12 points. It's a couple scores for them. That's really not that big of a deal.
Right. They almost have been winning every week for the last 3-4 years. So, I mean,
it's like 29 and 1.
Right.
You know, so they're going to win the game. It doesn't matter about how much. And then you look at Pitt, like you said, coming off of that game last week. That was, you know, emotional for them, obviously, the state rival there. And that would have been a huge win for them to beat Penn State. So I don't have any problem at all going with UCF here.
All right, cool. We got one. What about, you know, BYU out west? They've been rolling hot with us, too. We had them a couple of times. We had them against USC last week. This time they're catching 6.5 from Washington. That's just a game that interests me. And like I say, BYU at home getting some points. Wondering about that one.
I looked at this one too. We got minus 6 and 52.5. Washington is. I don't have a lean on this one. I was pro Washington coming into the year. That loss to Cal really let me down. BYU is, you know, like you know, a tough boxer. They're always going to be in it. You got to really beat their ass to beat them. I think Washington has a good game in them. I'm thinking this may be it. So I don't really have a lean. I'm gonna stay off.
Okay, we'll wait on that one. What about Texas laying 6 to Oklahoma State? I saw that one out there. That's probably set to be a high scoring game. Those Big 12 games are always kind of high scoring. So 6 shouldn't be too much of an issue as long as Texas's defense can stand up a little bit. I was kind of thinking Texas at home minus less than a touchdown on that. What do you think about that?
I agree completely. It's we got Texas minus 5.5 and 73. We can buy that hat, that, you know, buy that half because why not? Get it down to 5. I do think you're going to see, you know, some fireworks here, a lot of points both ways. But I do think Texas, certainly on the defensive side of ball, is just better. I think they cover that 5.5 fairly easily. I like Texas too.
Okay, cool. Do you see any other games offhand? I got a couple here, but I can let you go see what's going on.
I got a little bit of a list here. I mean, a couple that I like, I really like. I think Syracuse kind of gets it back on track here at home this week. They're laying 5.5 to Western Michigan. I'm a little concerned about the line. I think it may be too low. I'm going to do a little more research on Western Michigan. But Syracuse, just off of the expectation coming into this season, how they've played isn't too impressive. But I think in the dome, they should probably be able to cover 5.5 against a Western Michigan team. Syracuse is going to score a ton of points. It's a matter if they can, keep Western Michigan down a bit. The total on the game is 65.5. So I do like Syracuse -5 on the bye. Pretty good there too. That's one that I liked.
Yeah, I agree. I think Syracuse is probably a pretty good team. They've just had a little rough stretch here over a couple
some
weeks.
Decent teams.
They played Maryland and got spanked pretty good. That surprised me. Then obviously they played Clemson this past week. They weren't going to have a chance in that. So they've had a couple chances to get spanked a little bit. And once the national scene sees that, sometimes their stock will go down. That's a good chance to hop on these teams for the comeback win. So I like to see them at home and jumping on Western Michigan over to 5.5. I like that one too.
Yep, cool. I got a couple more here, Silk. Virginia minus 28.5 against Old Dominion. Virginia at home, I think that they're just a up and coming quality program, a lower level ACC team, but I think they should be able to, I've seen them score some points in the 50s in the recent past, so I think they could probably, they may hang 42 on this, 42-10, something like that. So I do think Virginia's going to cover, the four scores over Old Dominion.
Okay, I think that's a tough one coming off a pretty emotional game against Florida State last week. They held on to win by 7. Maybe we can put that one on the back burner.
Sure.
And just pull. I'm a little. Didn't ODU have a big upset win against somebody last year? I feel like
maybe.
I feel like they did. Somebody maybe in the ACC, but it might have been like North Carolina or something like that. I'm not sure. But,
right. Okay.
What about I see whenever I like a Pac team and they're traveling down to an SEC school. We got Cal is getting 2.5 to Ole Miss. I always lean towards the SEC schools in these matchups. So what do you think about Ole Miss this week?
I looked at that one too. I don't have too much of a lean there on that one, on that way either. I'm not sure. I think the SEC this year more than recent years, maybe a little, not bottom heavy, but bottom light maybe, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I agree.
How those teams at the bottom are. And Cal surprised me. Like I did mention the win against Washington, so I don't know. I think there's just enough elsewhere to kind of pass on that one. But I typically, as a rule, go with the SEC over the Pac-10, 364 days out of the year type thing.
But I agree. I think even Cal played them at home last year, if I remember, one of the early season games, and Cal played them really good. I forget where they won or they covered or what, but I remember being on Ole Miss and I wasn't happy about it in the end. So
right.
Also, the big game in the SEC this week is A&M. Host Auburn. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, that's a real tough one. A&M 3.5 and 48. I think who's not rooting for Patrick Nix, right? So it's hard to go against Auburn, but I did think I had A&M as like one of my sneaky, maybe sneak into that five, get up to number five and maybe try to sneak into the one of the four slots for the playoffs. So, man, this is real tough. If A&M is going to do anything, they're going to have to win this game and cover that three if we buy it to three. So if I had to, I would actually go with A&M in this game just because it's at home.
I got
to
tell you, I kind of like A&M. I know Nick's had those big plays against Oregon, but I haven't been real impressed with it. Obviously, the kid's super young, and A&M is a tough, tough place to play. I mean, probably it'll be as tough a road test as he's had so far. I kind of like A&M in this one, so we can hold on to that one and decide if we want to throw that in. Oregon plays Stanford laying 10 this week too. I don't know if you saw that one.
I did 10.5. Stanford is one that Oregon. Well, kind of both of these teams. I thought Oregon would be better too. I'm a little disappointed in how they played. They played Auburn tough actually. So that was a miracle, Nix thing at the end there. The coach Cristobal is an SEC guy, so I think he's trying to change the culture there. I'm not sure if he's quite there yet. I am a Herbert fan. He's going to be a top five pick for sure. The quarterback. It's 10.5. We buy it to 10. Are they 10.5? 10 points better than Stanford on the road? I would guess probably. I wouldn't take Stanford. I'd say that. I mean, that's you could easily twist my arm for Oregon on this one if you wanted to.
All right. We'll hold that one off just in case. I like Oregon too, but we'll see. Also, keep staying out west. Man, UCLA, they're just a bad team. Yep. Washington yep. State had a kind of a tough test against Houston last week. They didn't look real good, but they hung in there and got the win in the end. They really had a good second half. I think they really shut down Houston in the second half. This is a tough place. Another tough place to play is Washington State. Yep. And they're favored by almost 3 touchdowns, 18.5. But I still, yep. I like Washington State in this, to be honest.
I mean, I there's no way. Well, first of all, you can't take UCLA at all. So, just as how the question is, you just got, are they that bad? And that we're going to find out real quick, come Sunday morning. Like you said, it's tough to play up in Washington State. I don't know what kind of faith the players, even the coaches, have in Chip Kelly at this point. They just can't score. And that's his whole thing. And the thing about Washington State, Mike Leach, I mean, the dude, I think he got fired from Texas Tech. He put a dude in the closet, Craig James' son, in the closet. Right. They have one gear. They're going to throw the ball from, tip off to they blow the final whistle. So that encourages me to easily convince me to take Washington State. If you
all right, I like that one. I want to pull the trigger on that one.
Done.
All right. What else you got out there? Florida hosts Tennessee. We talked a lot about Florida this year. They're favored by 2 touchdowns. Tennessee's pretty damn bad. But we talked about Franks is out, but that quarterback for Florida looked pretty good last week.
Trask, when he came
in the second half against Kentucky. Any thoughts on that?
I'm annoyed at them. I don't know what they are, what they're going to do. 14 points and 48.5. I don't know. But I think Tennessee probably sucks too. But Florida, would it surprise you if Florida goes out there and wins, 24-17 or something like that? I'd stay away from that one.
Fair enough. You see anything else you really like to have on here?
Let me see what else I got. What do you think? BC, your BC's playing the RU.
You're playing the RU. Line. What do you think about that one? Honestly, you think they bounce? Yeah. You think they bounce back, or you think our Rutgers does something?
That's a tough one too. I think BC probably covers that. I think they're just better all around. Rutgers quarterback play is not good. It's that old adage: you got 3 quarterbacks, you don't have any type thing. I think BC should beat them by 8 points.
All right. Well, I'm okay. I mean, hey, man, you called me a homer last week for betting on for BC 2 weeks in a row, and now we come back.
But
they look so bad. They look so bad. The other night that they got to bounce back. Right.
Yeah. We'll put that to the side. Let's leave. One that did catch my eye early on too was San Diego State. They're at home against Utah State, catching 4 points. I don't know too much about Utah State. Typically decent. San Diego State beat UCLA, I think they beat somebody else too, and they seem to have a pretty solid program. They are pumping out pros. I thought maybe take a flyer on San Diego State plus the 4. What do you think?
Cool. Hey, you don't have to convince me to take one of those late. I would imagine I haven't seen it, but I'm imagining that's one of those late Saturday night picks. So whether you're winning or you're losing, you're gonna want to get on that in the end. I know that stuff. So. Yeah.
All right. I got a couple. We got my kicking the balls, Michigan State here. They're laying 9.5 at Northwestern. I think that's almost an easy one, taking Northwestern. Plus, you buy that to 10. I like that. I'm not sure what your thoughts are there. What do you think?
Yeah, after Michigan State really laid an egg last week. Northwestern, they're sneaky tough sometimes. When you count them out, especially in a conference game, they can sometimes come up and hang tough on you. Yeah, I have no problem. I told you the other day, I think we should be taking more points. You come up with picks that take points, I'm in. I'll take a home dog. I'll take home dogs all day long.
Plus 10, yeah, lose by 7.
Yep.
All the way to the bank. How about Colorado's at ASU? ASU off that best, big win at Michigan State last week. They're getting some points, 7.5. I think Colorado was better than how they played last week, and ASU does have that true freshman quarterback. They're playing good. Most of their games are close. So I would think maybe they'd keep it close, take the over the touchdown with Colorado. Just wondering
what you thought. I'm down. Taking points. Right. Taking points. I love it.
All right. I think I got one more here. Arkansas. I'm not sure how good they are, but they're playing San Jose State in Arkansas. 21 points, 3 touchdowns. I think San Jose State is like 110th in the country, something like that. I'm not sure about Arkansas. I just wanted to throw it out there, see what you thought.
I'm in. Arkansas at home, SEC done. Against New Mexico State. I'm in. I'm in.
So, San Jose.
Same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same shit.
No, it doesn't matter. Right. Doesn't matter.
Same shit. All right. So let me just run down kind of what we have right now. Okay.
Yep.
We got Wisconsin laying the points to Michigan. We got A&M laying the points to Auburn.
Yep.
We got UCF laying the points to Pitt.
Yep.
We got Arkansas minus the 21 over some school.
So, right. Somebody.
All right. Matter. Texas minus 6 over Oklahoma State. We got Georgia minus 14 over Notre Dame. Yep. Washington State minus 18.5 over UCLA. Yep. We got Syracuse minus 5.5 over Western Michigan.
Yep.
We got Northwestern catching a 10, 9.5.
Correct.
San Diego State plus 4 and Colorado plus 7.5. That's what we got. I left Virginia out, and I left Ole Miss out, and I left BC out.
What about in Oregon?
And I left Oregon out. But that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 picks. Should we add any of those? Or
5, 6, 7, 8. Did we say Colorado, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, 11. That's fine. That's enough.
Okay. Plus, we got Tulane Thursday night.
Right, we got Thursday, Friday.
Games. So that'll be 14 picks altogether in college. I think that'll probably do us.
I thought about bringing up maybe we should pick less, but that's crazy talk. That's crazy.
No, we're behind in this thing, so we gotta get winners. We need winners. Right. Doesn't matter. You give me 30 winners. Give me 30 winners. I'll take them.
That's no rationalization there. No, that's it. we're going whatever 9-2, no doubt.
All right.
That's just Saturday alone.
Just Saturday. We got this shit, bro. We're coming back. This is the comeback. This is the comeback.
There you go.
Do I need to give you us a? Do I need to give the Wager Makers a pep talk?
Hell no.
I'll do it. Man. I'll do it right now. The Wager Makers, it's time to step up. I'll step it up.
Perpetually half.
Challenge you. I'm challenging me. The thumb. We're giving each other the thumb. That's disgusting. That's it. Don't say that again. On the radio. That sounds disgusting.
Whatever. Thumb war. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Giving each other the thumb. That doesn't sound right. All right.
Is this even the radio? Are we even on the radio?
No, this is podcast, internet.
Podcast.
Yeah, this internet. Is, yeah. Radio, what's that? Old school. That's old school. I don't know. We're a podcast. YouTube, superstars.
Terrestrial radio.
All right, let's move it on over to the NFL. Webb, like a few games here. Obviously, we are taking, I'm on record now, I'm taking the Hoodats plus the points. I'm writing it down. I'm writing that down right now. Saints.
I just circled it.
Saints plus the points.
Let me do a little aside here. Why I remember. What is going on with these fucking lines? The Cowboys are laying 21.5. The Patriots are laying 22.5. And not only that, baseball yesterday. I sent you that thing. What was it? The Astros and Garrett Cole were laying 491. You got to risk $491 to win $100. Vegas. This is a plea from the wager makers. Just chill out a little bit. Can we max it at 3-1? Can we do something like that? We're not looking for too much of a bigger payback. That same day, there were four teams, I think, over 250. It's unnecessary. Vegas, give us a break on the lines.
I mean, why wouldn't you, if your dude hanging out, why wouldn't you go put $10 on the underdog on every game? All you got to do is hit one of the games out of four, and you got your money back.
Yep.
It's baseball.
Yep.
It's baseball. Everybody's 500. Even the best teams are just a little bit over 500. It's baseball.
And half the teams clinched already. Really nothing to play for.
Right.
So, all right, enough of that. What's next?
All right, NFL. We got the Saints and we got the Jags. That much we know.
All right.
Noon game Central Time. We got the Bengals travel to the Bills. Webb. I'm a believer.
Right,
I'm a believer.
I got this game written down here.
I'm a believer in the Bills. I'm a believer in the Bills. You can tell me what you think.
I'm not going to argue. Cincinnati, they probably suck. We're not sure what they are. They played decent up in Seattle week one, and then we believe the hype, and then they bent us over there in week two. Here's my thing. I have this game written down. The next one I have Bills 3-0, ? !! So we're betting 6 points that the Bills are going to be 3-0 to start this season.
Listen, man, they got two road wins. I talked about this earlier. I like teams that played on the third week. I like teams that played twice on the road. I think they're undervalued. And I like teams that played twice at home. I think they're overvalued. So that's what I want to look for. But usually teams that play twice on the road, they don't look real good. And then they come home and they get right. But in this case, I mean, they played the Jets and the Giants. I know. But 2-0 is 2-0. Your record is what you are.
Yeah.
Bill Parcells, your record is what it is or something. You know, you're not.
Yep. They are who they thought they are. Right. Whatever it was. Right. Yeah, all right, fine. We'll take the Bills minus the 6.
Bills minus 6. I think Josh Allen's good. They got a good D. They're finally going home. They're going to be better. But talking about the big point spreads, Webb, I mean, are you going to take the Dolphins against the Cowboys? Are you going to take the Jets? I mean, how are the Dolphins and Jets going to even – are they going to even score?
The Dolphins are – it's 102-10 in two games. I could roll 11 dudes out there and get beat by 100 points. No problem. Right. I mean, you know, I'm kind of kicking myself. We should have took the fucking Patriots.
I can't believe
week.
We were on the Patriots. Patriots are going to score 30 rolling out of bed.
Yep.
How are the Dolphins going to score 10?
Right.
You know
especially
what I mean?
Get, trying to get AB into the offense. God, man, that was a missed opportunity there with the Patriots last week.
I'm almost, as crazy as it sounds, I almost feel that way this week. But it's so hard. It goes against everything that I would believe in to lay 21 plus points to NFL.
22 and a half if you're betting the Patriots right here. So I mean, again, there's no way I would take the Jets, but you can't do it. Same thing with the Cowboys are laying 21 and a half. I think they might have a better chance just because I think the Dolphins are worse than the Jets. So I think the Cowboys might cover that just based off of the, zero resistance from Miami. Right.
Well, Dolphins are worse than the Jets, but the Jets with their quarterback issues just makes it that much worse. The Jets are playing with a third string quarterback.
In New England,
I think New England might have the best defense that they've had in 20 years. That's saying something for New England.
Good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
Like not even talking about Brady and Antonio Brown and all that shit. The Patriots defense is the real deal.
Right. That's supposed to be the strong point. They're supposed to run the ball and play D this season.
Huh. Well, we can maybe come back to those. I know I'm taking the Cowboys in my suicide pool.
I took them twice.
Another game I like, a team that played on the road twice, played pretty solid. I talked about them earlier. They went on the road, played an overtime game in San Diego, and then they went down to Tennessee and came back tough and beat Tennessee. Everybody was down on them when Luck went out. I know you like the Falcons, but I kind of like the Colts going at home for the first time in this one. I don't know what you think about this one.
I don't have any real lean here. I don't see the Colts. I don't see their offensive firepower, which their offensive line is good. I just don't know who, and I'm not, it's not even a Brissette thing. Who are they throwing the ball to on the out? T.Y. Hilton, I guess. And the running back is good. The younger kid.
Yeah, Mac.
Yeah, the defense is pretty good. I'm still waiting for the Falcons to play up to their potential. This one, I would pass on. I'm not going to touch this one. It's a tough one.
Okay, fair enough. I can battle that on now down the road if we need to.
Yep.
What games do you like off the?
This one for my man Garjul. Our man Garjul. I love the Eagles -6.5 against Detroit. The Eagles are going to get really right here. They're not going to be trailing in this game. This is not going to be too difficult of a game, I don't think, for them. Again, Matthew Stafford, if you were going to go into a laboratory and Frankenstein up a quarterback, he might be the guy you come out with, but the dude's got zero playoff wins. He's got zero talent on both sides of the ball, I think. So I love the Eagles here minus buy it down to 6, at home. I think this is how they played at home week one, but this is going to be a big game for the Eagles, I think.
Okay. Fair enough. I mentioned earlier how banged up the Eagles are, but again, the Lions, I have no problem taking the Eagles at home by a touchdown, less than a touchdown to the Lions. What else do you see out there that you might be into?
Yeah, the Vikings I have here written down. Vikings -8.5 against the Raiders. 8.5 is a number, but it's funny how it all comes down. It's all relative. It's 8.5 compared to 22.5. So it's kind of weird. I don't know how much offensive firepower the Raiders have either. They got that receiver, I guess Williams, and then the running back kid from Bama. I don't think they have too many anybody on defense. The Vikings got to get right. Kirk Cousins is trying to play well. Minnesota is similar to the Saints in that they play real good in that dome. So I'm going to go Skol Vikings for my man Belfi as well.
Sounds good. I'll down with the Vikings. I talked about how I like Cousins, and man, he blew it last week against Green Bay. Made a terrible decision down the stretch there. I know you don't like Cousins, but I think the Vikings are a good team. They play good D. They run the ball well. They got really behind the eight ball last week. I think Green Bay jumped out on them early. They almost came back. And Oakland, they had that big win on primetime the opening night, and I haven't really seen a lot out of them since, obviously. And so I have no problem taking the Vikings. I do like going out west a little bit, and the Houston Texans are getting a few points from the Chargers.
That's a good one. Yep, I got that one.
The Chargers are just, man, they just never can put anything together consistently. Just when you think they're decent, they just blow it. You know, they had a tough. First of all, they jumped all over Indy in the first game early, and ended up letting them back in the game to where mm-hmm. they had to win the game in overtime. Mm-hmm. And then they go to Detroit, who barely. They got a tie the first week, and then they go to Detroit and they lose to them, So I like the Texans. I think they struggled last week, but they were able to pull out the win against the Jaguars in a tough division game. I think they can go out to San Diego and give them all, especially catching more than a field goal. I'm all over that.
Yeah, we got +3 here and 47.5. I think I might like the under here a little bit too. But the Chargers, I'm going to give them a little bit of a break just based on their injuries. Derwin James was the heart and soul of their defense. He's gone. The Hunter Henry, whatever.
Tight
end is gone. Then they just lost the guy Justin Phillips, another guy on defense. And then there's a fourth guy starter that's hurt as well. His name escapes me. Plus Melvin Gordon. Let me just talk about that. That they offered that dude $10 million and he turned it down. And that I saw something today. He texted or whatever he did that he's going to play somewhere. Well, you keep turning $10 million down. Your ass ain't going to be playing nowhere, right. Motherfucker.
No, nobody's going to pay him that. You know,
why?
I don't know what these guys think. He's no Zeke.
Right.
You know, they talked about him a lot in the preseason, like, oh man, Zeke and Melvin Gordon are sitting. That's like saying, well, Zeke and this dude on the practice squad is sitting out. You're talking about apples and oranges.
You're right. They didn't even blink. You know? They didn't even talk about him.
Okay, we'll go with Eckler or whatever the heck guy's name is. Big deal. Yeah. For probably making $400,000 or something.
Right. But the thing that the Texans, he gets hit by a truck every week, Deshaun Watson. So that's the one thing that always scares
me. You just have to hope he doesn't get hit by the truck the week that you pick him.
Bose is going to get him twice probably. And what's the other dude's name? Melvin Ingram, maybe the other dude on the defensive line for the Chargers. He's going to go down. He's going to get sacked four or five times. That seems to be their weekly thing. Just going to be if he can make it through there and get it done. But I do like the Texans. Long story short, Texans plus +3 is fine with me.
All right, cool. What else do you see out there?
I think that might be it for me,
okay,
man.
Okay, well, we got a couple primetime games. I love the Monday night game. You might disagree with me, but let's talk about the Sunday night game first. I think it's pretty interesting. The Rams are laying 3 going to the Browns. And obviously, you know, everybody knows these are two big teams. Rams coming off the big win against the Saints last week. Browns finally got their win after all the hype all off season. Man, the Browns offensive line is not very good.
Nope.
And the Rams defensive line, man, those guys are tough, but this could be like a dog pound type game, up there in Cleveland. This could be their big coming out party for the Browns. OBJ had a pretty nice game the other night. It took him a little while to get going. How do you feel about this game?
We did talk about how I thought the Browns were going to play. I'm disappointed in how that was about as ugly of a 20 something point win on the other night as there possibly could have been. Their offensive line looks like it sucks. They only, you know, I thought they'd have some more playmakers on the offense. I was looking for that tight end, Njoku or whatever his name is, to do something. He's done zero. No one's really done anything actually on offense. Chubb actually looked good. The running back looked good. And then obviously OBJ had a big game. Their offensive line is not good. And I'm disappointed in their defense. Miles Garrett? I think he might be more concerned about posing, you know, flexing and doing his thing than, you know, paying attention to football. He had a couple of huge penalties. And I think they're averaging, 13 penalties a game or something like that. That's not going to get it done against the Rams. And like you said, Aaron Donald could eat, you know, the best center and best guards in football alive. So, I mean, having said all that, it's a tough game. I guess I'd have to go with, the Rams minus the points is tough. I don't really have a lean here, to be honest with you. What are you thinking?
I don't either. Like I say, I always like to take the home dog, but I just don't trust the Browns yet, to be honest. I think the Rams have been there. The Rams have been through some tough games in the last few years. They know what they're doing. They're cohesive. They know what each other's doing. I think the Browns are still, even though they have tons of superstars on paper, they're still finding themselves a little bit. You know, the OBJ and those guys didn't play a lot in the preseason. It's only been 2 games. If I had to take one here, and which we said we would take something in all the primetime games, I think I would take the Rams and lay the 3 points in this.
Even though this is going, coaching.
This is going against everything that I'm going to say about the Monday night game. But go ahead, we can.
I agree. I mean, the Rams, I think at this point, if you just put them up next to each other, the Rams are a better team. 3 points is not, you know, anything really to cover. I think, again, we said we'd take a game. We got to make a pick. I don't really know about the over-under here. Let's just go with the Rams minus the 3.
Okay, Rams minus 3. That's an interesting question I wanted to ask you, Webb. So there's the eye test, right? You see 2 teams. You know which one was better. I felt like on Sunday night, this past Sunday night, that the Eagles were probably a better team. You probably didn't think that because
it was real close.
But also you gave us the stat that, you know, when a team loses by double digits, I think it was in week 1, and then they go home and they're getting points in week 2. They cover the spread. I forget how many times it was, but it was a significant number.
Right.
You know, how how do you know when to, you know, go with the eye test or go with, like in this case, this Cleveland is a home dog on a prime time game. That's always something that looks good in the numbers. When do you know which way to go? Or do you go all the way one way or all the way the other? Or you do sometimes one, sometimes the other? What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. That's, you know, there's the rub right there, right? I mean, that's the ultimate question. And I mean, these guys play off our emotion and everything like that. You kind of pick the team you like, you know, who, you know, would you rather root for Jared Goff or you rather root for, Baker Mayfield? Now, it's almost a matter, you know, do you hate, you know, people are going to bet against the Browns just because they hate OBJ or whatever it is. I think with that, you kind of have to take all emotion out of it and just, you know, look at those stats, look at those heavy numbers. They're telling you it's 90% of the time that, you know, after losing a double digit or coming home, they're going to cover. So you kind of have to, if you're not emotionally invested, you just got to kind of go against what your gut feels, what your heart's telling you, and go with those pure numbers. I mean, I think if you did that, you would win more than you lost.
Yeah, I agree. But it's hard. You know, like I said, when you see a team, how many times in your life have you bet on a team and they were just the better team all game long, but they turned the ball over three times to one, or, you know, just the big stupid play here and there that really cost you. But then, you know, like, damn, that's what I get for going against the home dog. That's what I get. That's what I get for going against this or that, you know, that's, you know, teams pass the eye test and then sometimes they don't come through. So it's an interesting question, I think. I'm pretty good. That was a good question by me, Webb. I didn't get no answer.
That was great. I was impressed. I was lucid. I could tell. Well said. Way to go, man. You really bring
all
up
right.
The,
speaking of which, moving on to Monday night. I see nothing in the Bears offense that makes me think that they're going to score a bunch of points against anybody, not even the Redskins defense. And I think the Redskins are 0-2, but to me it wasn't a real terrible 0-2. They gave the Eagles pretty much all they could handle. They jumped out pretty tough against the Cowboys. The Cowboys are just a better team in that situation. The Bears really should have lost last week. They caught a couple breaks down a stretch against probably not very good, which turns out to be a not very good Broncos team. Right. Offensively, the Bears have not done anything. I'm not really sure, other than the preseason thoughts about both of these teams that everybody kind of, even ourselves included, thought the Bears would be pretty good, and everybody, ourselves included, thought the Redskins would be pretty bad. If there's a such thing as a decent 0-2, I think the Redskins are that, right? I think they're decent enough to win. I think they're decent enough to win at home, and I think they're decent enough to take +4 points at home on a Monday night. I don't know what you think about that.
This game is a tough one, too. I don't really have too much of a lean either way. I do agree with what you're saying about the Redskins, and I think they're a better team with all day running the ball for them. He gives them a little toughness, I think. They're a shitty franchise. I don't know how you can let that left tackle sit out there in the wind, just give the guys money. Trent's left tackle. The Bears, I think you got to start looking at the head coach here. What's Trestman doing? That defense is good. They got Khalil Mack and they got the Rokon Smith from Georgia. They got a couple, you know, top two or three players at their position on defense, and they're struggling to win these games. It sits at Trubisky's feet too, but you know, they got Allen Robinson. They got basically that, you know, that's their number one receiver on most teams. Yeah, I'm not sure he's their number one. And then they're not really sure what they're doing with the, they have a three running backs and they don't really know how to use any one of them. I don't think doesn't look like so. The Redskins, it's a similar situation. Actually, that kid from Ohio State, McCleary, he looks like to be the real deal. He gave the Cowboys some fits and he played real well against Philly as well. But with that, you see why Case Keenum has been a journeyman or a lifetime backup. He keeps him in the game. He's almost just good enough to lose. So, you know, having said all that, I think, you know, good enough to lose +4 points at home on a Monday night. This is almost, you know, make or break for the Redskins. The Bears do have a win at least. The Redskins, if they lose this, it's almost, you know, it's done. Cowboys are 2-0. Eagles are 2-0. So I like the Redskins +4. Why not?
All right, cool. So, but we did skip over a few big games this. Well, number one, are we staying away from the two huge point spreads? Is that what we're staying away from those?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big advocate of a teaser, but I wouldn't think if you want to throw a three team teaser together, get yourself 10 points. Chargers, Cowboys, Patriots and you want to throw in, I don't know, maybe the Vikings or the Eagles, I think that's a pretty good three-team teaser right there. But it's just too hard. I'm not ready. I'm not psychologically ready to do that.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. I'm not even. That's why. But we skipped over a couple of games here. The Ravens and Chiefs going to be a pretty
good game.
What do you think about that one? Chiefs are laying almost a touchdown there. Six and a half.
I mean, the Chiefs are real good. They're home. I'm not quite ready to anoint Lamar Jackson as the second coming or the better version of Randall Cunningham or whatever they're saying. The Ravens played week one. They played who? They played the Dolphins, which was ridiculous.
Neither team has really played anybody. I looked at it today. The Ravens have played the Dolphins and the Arizona, arguably the two worst teams in the league. Yep. But Kansas City really hasn't done that much better. They played the Raiders and they played Jacksonville.
Right.
And Jacksonville lost their quarterback that was going to be the man in the first few minutes of the game, I believe.
And they kind of gave them a little bit of a game even, Jacksonville, for a little while.
And really, Kansas City and Oakland, they fell down 10 points early on, but then they scored 28 points in one quarter and nothing else.
Yeah,
nothing else.
They stopped,
I also think Baltimore is the kind of team that could give Kansas City a little trouble, and I'm not saying one way or another, but just in the fact that they're the kind of team that can control the ball with running the ball offensively and kind of keep that offense off the field a little bit, catching a little less than a touchdown. I don't know if you think there's worthy of a play here one way or another. Kansas City obviously has the firepower to put up tons of points when they want to, but I think these two teams played late last season, maybe in the playoffs in Kansas City, and Baltimore played them pretty tough in Kansas City.
I think you're right. I mean, I don't have a lean. We got a couple others here. If I had to, I would go with the home team. I'd lay the 6 points here. Again, this is one of those. I'd just rather bet on KC than Baltimore. I think I just like them better. So that's why I would just stay off it.
All right. And then we got looks like a pretty crappy game. We got the No Cam Newton. The Panthers looked awful on Thursday night, even with Cam Newton. They're going to the Cardinals. Sometimes the desert's a tough place to play. Surprisingly, this Cardinals team has hung a little bit tough. They hung pretty tough in Baltimore last week, and they even fallen down early. Murray kind of got himself back together in opening week and got it at least to a tie against the Lions. But I don't know if you feel any kind of way on that one.
I wouldn't bet this game. I think this is funny. I think this is the one that Arizona is going to win this game, actually. It seems like they take them a little while to get going, and then the kid kind of figures it out, and then they do this frantic thing at the end to get back into the game. They can kind of start off good. Maybe being at home would help them. I know their first game was at home, and it's similar. And they did play. Who did they play week one? I think it was a kind of a tougher game, tougher team too.
Well, they played Detroit.
Oh, never mind. Yeah,
at home and tied. But last week was a tough one, and they kind of went toe to toe with the Ravens in Baltimore last week. They only lost by a touchdown. So I actually wouldn't mind taking a flyer on the Cardinals. All they have to do is win the game at home, basically, or laying 2.5.
I mean, they're going to win some games, a couple games, and this has got to be, you know, circled as one of the ones that they can get this done. So, let's take the kid.
Right. And then, we got a rookie quarterback going on the road. The Buccaneers, they don't look great, but they at least got the victory last week against Carolina. You think anything about this one?
This is another tough one. Again, I'm rooting for Jameis to get this stupidity channeled and figured out. Again, we're both big Bruce Arians fans. The thing that scared the Giants defense sucks, but the thing that scares me about this game is handing the ball to Saquon and, you know, just calling a dive and he's 80 yards for a touchdown and then maybe he'll do it again and that might just be enough. I don't know what else they're going to do besides that. Their receiving core is so banged up. I think Evan Engram is playing, but you kind of throw someone on him and then hopefully, you know, let Barkley go for 122 scores. You could still probably win and cover. I'm no real lean, but I would take the Bucks, you know, buy it to 6 here if we had to.
All right. Maybe lay off that one and see what happens. Another 0-2 team travels to a team that's been on the road twice and got two victories, and that's a rookie quarterback heading into San Francisco. San Francisco's laying about 6.5. You got any lean on that one?
Well, Rudolph's no rookie, is he? He's not a rookie.
Sorry, first-time starter.
I'm not sure we know what the Niners are, but I think we have a better idea what the Steelers are. So from everything I read, I think the kid is like a gym rat. Mason Rudolph, I'm talking about the quarterback for the Steelers. So I am rooting for him to at least play well, but I don't see who they have that's going to really scare anybody. I've read somewhere today that the Steelers, they have like six number one picks on the or top 10 picks on the Steelers defense. Something crazy like that. Like a real high number of number one draft picks starting for the Steelers defense. So I don't know why they're not more, I don't know, dominating. I don't know. Let's in this game, I believe in Jimmy G. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and lay the six and a half if we had to. I would.
OK, I think I'm with you on that. San Francisco's played two road games. They won them both. And they're coming home. I think, man, the Steelers, you hate to bet against Tomlin and the Steelers, but they're back against the wall 0-2. But Rudolph looked pretty good last week. But, man, it's a tough ask for a kid to get his first start to go in there and get a win. I think San Francisco is really feeling themselves now. They look pretty good the last couple
weeks.
Yeah,
and your point about the two road games coming home, that hooked me. So I think that helps. That's cool. Niners are good.
Okay. So right now we got the Jags Thursday night. We got the Saints. We got the Bills. We got the Eagles, Vikings, Texans, Rams, Skins, Cardinals, and San Francisco.
Yep.
That sound right? That's 10 games total.
Two.
I would like to take the Colts, but I'll lay off since you're not feeling good about the Colts.
Okay. Fair enough.
I was going to throw one last line, one last chance for you to dive in on that one. But that's another team that's been on the road twice going home. So we'll see what happens. I'm on the record. I'm on the record saying I like the Colts. Right. But I know they're playing against your boys. So
yeah.
And yes, listen. It's on record now. Look, we already know the Cowboys are your boys.
Right.
We know the Browns are your boys. And the Falcons are your boys. You got a bunch of sorry ass boys. You got a bunch of sorry ass boys.
Yeah.
All right. So that brings us probably to the end of this section here, episode number 13. Again, just want to remind you, thank you, John Grove, for the bumper music. Thank you, everybody who's chiming in on the Instagram, the Facebook, the Twitter, all that stuff. Send us emails. Send us some messages. It's thewagermakers@gmail.com, Instagram at thewagermakers, Twitter at thewagermakerspodcast, at thewagermakers, Facebook, thewagermakerspodcast, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play Music, Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. Webb, what's Devin say about YouTube?
YouTube, make sure you subscribe, first of all, and then you click the thumbs up to like, and then always hit the bell. Put your notifications on. Straight from Devin Weber, baby.
That's right. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. Well, Webb, good talking to you. Saints fans, take what I'm saying. It's time to come together. We're going to do this thing. Don't be afraid. It's time to move on. Webb, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, man. Who Dat Nation? Do it for my man. Get behind him.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, tell some friends. Let's get it going. Who Dat Nation? Come on. Stop the crying. Let's go. It's time to get together. All right. Love you.